Chapter 26. There were five men in the opulently furnished room. One of the men was subservient to the others. He was younger than they, attentive to their moods and wishes. Clearly, he was a servant. Of the remaining four, one was just as obviously the host. He was seated at the focus of all their attention. He was fat, but not excessively so. The fat of good living, not of gluttony. He was speaking, addressing himself to his three guests. You have expressed doubts as to reliability of the tool I intend using in the coming venture. I have arranged a demonstration, which I hope will convince you that your concern is groundless. That is the reason for the invitation that Andrew here conveyed to you this afternoon. The host turned to the younger man. Andrew, would you be good enough to go through and wait for Dr. Steiner to arrive? As soon as that happens, please let Simon seat him while you come through and inform us. He gave his orders with dignity and courtesy, a man accustomed to command. Now, gentlemen, while we wait, may I offer you a drink? The conversation that sprang up between the four of them as they sipped their drinks was knowledgeable and extraordinarily well informed. At its root was one subject, wealth. Mineral wealth, industrial wealth, the harvest of the land and the sea, oil, steel, coal, fish, wheat, and gold. There were clues to the stature of these men in the cut and quality of the cloth they wore, the sparkle of a stone on a finger, the tone of authority in a voice, the casual, unaffected use of a high name. "He is here, sir," Andrew interrupted them from the doorway. "Oh, thank you, my boy." The host stood up. "Would you mind stepping this way, please, gentlemen?" He crossed the room and drew aside one of the gold and maroon drapes. Behind it was a window. The four men clustered about the window and looked through into the room beyond. It was a gaming room of an expensive gambling establishment. There were men and women sitting about a baccarat table, and none of them so much as glanced up at the window overlooking them. "This is one-way glass, gentlemen," the host explained, "so you need not worry about being seen in such a den of iniquity." They chuckled politely. "What kind of profit does this place show you?" one of them asked. "My dear Robert," the host feigned shock. "You don't for a moment believe that I would be in any way associated with an illegal undertaking?" This time they chuckled with genuine amusement. "Ah," exclaimed the host, "here he is." Across the gaming room, Dr. Manfred Steiner was being ushered to a seat at the table by a tall, sallow-faced young man, who, in his evening dress, looked like an undertaker. "I have asked Simon to place him so that you may watch his face as he plays," said the host. They were intent now, leaning forward slightly, scrutinizing the man as he arranged the plucks that Simon had stacked at his elbow. Dr. Manfred Steiner began to play. His face was completely devoid of expression, but the pallor was startling. Every few seconds, the pink tip of his tongue slipped out between his lips and then disappeared again. In the intervals between each coup, there was a reptilian stillness about him, the stillness of a lizard or an iguana. Only a pulse beat steadily in his throat, and his spectacles glittered like a snake's eyes. May I direct your attention to his right hand during the play of this coup? The host murmured, and all their eyes flicked downwards. Manfred's right hand lay open beside the pile of his chips. But as his card was laid before him, so his fingers closed. Cart! Soundlessly he mouthed the word, and now his hand was a fist. The knuckles whitened. The tension was so fierce that the fist trembled. Yet still his face was neutral. The banker flipped his card. Sept! The croupier's mouth formed the number. He faced Manfred's card, then he swept Manfred's stake away. Manfred's hand flopped open and lay soft and hairless as a dead fish on the green baize. "Let us leave him to his pleasures," suggested the host, and drew the curtains across the window. They returned to their chairs, and they were strangely subdued.
"Jesus!" muttered one of the guests. "That was ugly. I felt like a peeping Tom, like watching someone, you know, pulling his puddin'."
The host glanced at him quickly, surprised at his perception. "In effect, that is exactly what you were watching," he told him. "You will excuse me playing the role of a lecturer, but I know a little about this man. It cost me nearly 400 rand for an analytical report on him by one of our leading psychiatrists." The host paused, assuring himself of their complete attention. "The reasons are obscure, probably arising from an event or series of events during the period in which Dr. Steiner was an orphan, wandering through the smoking ruins of war-torn Europe." The host coughed, deprecating his own flight of oratory. "Be that as it may, the results are there for all to see. Dr. Manfred Kurt Steiner's intelligence quotient is a genius rating of 158. He neither smokes nor drinks. He has no hobbies, plays no sport, has never made so much as an improper remark to any woman other than his wife. And there is some doubt as to just how often or to what extent she is favoured by his attentions." The host sipped his drink, conscious of their intense interest. "Mechanically, if that is the correct term, Dr. Steiner is neither impotent nor deficient in his manhood. However, he finds all bodily contact, and especially the secretions that may arise from such contact, to be utterly loathsome. For arousal, he relies on the baccarat cards. For a lease, he might endure a brief contact with a member of the opposite sex, but more likely he would... what was the expression you used, Robert?" They absorbed this in silence. "He is, to be precise, a convulsive gambler. He is also a compulsive loser." They stirred with disbelief.
"You mean he tries to lose?" demanded Robert incredulously.
"No." The host shook his head. "Not on the conscious level. He believes he is trying to win. But he lays bets against odds that, with his magnificent brain, he must realize are suicidal. It is a deep-seated subconscious need to lose, to be humiliated. A form of masochism." The host opened a black leather notebook and checked its contents. "During the period from 1958 to 1963, Dr. Steiner lost the total sum of 227,000 rands at this table. In 1964, he was able to arrive at an arrangement with his sole creditor to discharge the debt plus the accumulated interest.
You could see the faces change as they rapidly searched their memories for a set of circumstances which would fit the dates and principles. Robert reached the correct deduction first. In 1964, their host had sold his majority holdings in the North Mourne Copper Company to CRC at a price that could only be considered advantageous. Just prior to this, Dr. Steiner had been made head of finance and planning at CRC. North Mourne Copper, said Robert with admiration. That is how he had done it, the cunning old fox. He had forced Steiner to buy well above market value. The host smiled, softly, deferentially, neither confirming nor denying. Since 1964 to the present, Dr. Steiner has continued to patronize this establishment. His gambling losses for this further period amount to, and he consulted his notebook again, pretending surprise at the figure, to a touch over 300,000 rand. They sighed and moved restlessly. Even to these men, it was a very large sum of money. I think we can rely on him. The host closed his notebook with a snap and smiled around at them.